Hallelujah. All right, tonight I want to share with you something very, very little short message for tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And the title of my message is The Importance of Instructions. The importance of what? Instructions. Amen. Now, I just had this for my quiet time a few days ago, and I'm going to share it with you. Amen? All right. Now, what is an instruction? An instruction is simply, what is a good definition for an instruction? Jason? Something someone tells you to do. Amen. That is a good definition. It's an acceptable definition, isn't it? Something someone tells you to do. Now, if we look in a dictionary, instruction, to instruct is to furnish with knowledge, to furnish with orders or direction. Isn't it? Okay. So, across our lives, we come across and are often given many instructions. Isn't it? Now, it appears the younger you are, the more of them you get. Isn't it? When you grow older, you are given a little room for discretion. And you're given room for discretion. Now, the more room you are given to use your discretion, the more important the remaining instructions become. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, what I'm saying is that as you grow older, you tend to receive less and less instructions. But those instructions become more and more important. So discretion sort of replaces all the instructions that are not critical. Do you understand? So you see that when you are a child, for example, you'll be instructed, wear this, don't wear this, those kinds of things. As you grow older, you are given more and more room to exercise discretion. So you wear what you like to wear, for example. Do you understand? Of course, within a certain, it's hoping that you are sane enough to choose the right things to wear. So there's still a sanity inspector on the fringes of your life, who is still ensuring that within your liberties, you are still acting sane, isn't it? Right. But I'm saying that there is not going to be ever a time in your life when your life will be totally devoid of instruction. I wish I had something. Can you bring me the keyboard box? I can use it for my pulpit right now. Okay. Okay. I think so. I'm blessed already. Okay, good. Thank you. Right. So, there will never be a time in your life when your life will be totally devoid of instruction. Amen.
Amen.
If ever a time like that comes, it would typically be the end of your life. Do you understand? You will always have instructions, and the older you get, the more important your instructions become. The higher you go, the more crucial your instructions become. In fact, their obedience actually is what I'm talking about. The instructions are of a pertinent nature, and their obedience usually is critical to your survival. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I once heard somebody say that you walk with common sense and then you drive with principles and rules, but you fly with instructions. Do you understand? In other words, nobody teaches a child how to walk. They just walk. You watch this little girl. One day she'll just get up and it will just feel like the right thing to do. It's like it's the next logical thing to do, which is you feel some strength in your legs and you feel like this is what it is for. And you start to walk. Do you get it? Now, so the person is saying that you walk with common sense, you see, and you drive with principles, but you fly with instructions. Do you understand? That's why you have flight instructors. You get it? That in the air, you don't have options. In the air, you are not given options to use discretion. Do you understand? Because you only have to make one mistake and you're coming all the way down. Do you get it? And because the risk is so high, everything is so precise. In fact, they say that the airline industry is the industry with the least or the smallest margin for error. Do you understand? Yeah, and they make very few mistakes. Do you get it? Yeah. In fact, I was speaking to a pilot the other day, and he was explaining to me, because I was asking him, so can you get into any plane and just fly it? He said, no, it's not like that. It's not like cars. So the airplanes are not like cars. It's, your training is plane specific. Do you understand? Yeah, so as a pilot, you would have a general idea about how things work. But your training is to fly this plane. So let's say if you work for Delta, you know, one of the planes Delta has is the MD-88. You see, the MD-88 is okay. Oh? Okay. The MD-88 is a long plane and the engines are at the tail. They are not on the wings. Do you see? Yeah, the engines, you see, it's a very long, slim plane, long one like that. And then it has two engines that are really all the way back there at the tail. You see? So he was telling me, for example, that to fly that plane, you have to be trained to fly. So if you work for Delta, you'll be an MD-88 pilot. Do you understand? So it's not like if, you know, there's a Boeing 737 there, and then you can fly MD-88, but you've not been trained on this one. So we are looking for a driver. Come and drive this plane. It's not like the way we go and rent a car. When you rent a car, they don't know, have you been trained on Nissan or not? It's nothing like that. It's the same thing that you apply. You get it? So the instructions are very critical. Hallelujah. Now, across your Christian life, you're going to have instructions. And what you will realize is that the more mature you become, the more important your instructions become. And the more costly their disobedience also becomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The older you get in the Lord, or the more mature you become in the Lord, the more critical it becomes for you to learn how to obey instructions. Can I have an amen? In other words, the more mature you become in the Lord, the less you tend to ask why. The more immature you are in the Lord, the more you ask, why should I obey this instruction? In other words, why should I do this? Hallelujah. So you see, for example, in the book of John, chapter 21 and verse 18. John chapter 21, verse 18. John chapter 21 and verse 18. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking to Peter. He's saying that when thou wast little, or when thou wast a child, or something like that, you know, Pastor Manene, can you help us? John chapter 21. Okay. Here comes your field. So fill it with the word. Otherwise, I just read. Is there? Okay, right here. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself. Can you see that? And walkest whither thou wouldst. Do you see? But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Hallelujah. Well, the simple meaning of this verse is that when you are young and immature, you actually put yourself together and you go where you want to go. Isn't it? And you do what you want to do. But when you are old, rather, you see, in normal life, it is the opposite. Isn't it? That it's children who are controlled a whole lot. And then when you are old, you do what you like. Hallelujah. But spiritually, it is the opposite. Which is that when you are young, you have more latitude. When you are younger in the Lord and less mature, you have more freedom to do more things. Do you understand? Yeah. But the older you get in the Lord and the more mature you become as you rise in the things of God, it becomes more critical for you to learn the art of allowing another person to lead you to do something you wouldn't have done. Are you getting what I'm saying? In other words, it becomes more important for you to learn the art of being led by another. And the way we are led by another is through instructions. Hallelujah. It becomes very important. So you see that as people become mature, in fact, orangus often demonstrate their immaturity by their inability to obey instructions. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that they choose that I don't want this person to lead me anymore is rather the sign they think is often, or they often think it is rather a sign that they have arrived. But it's rather a sign that they have not arrived at all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rebelling against authority when you are mature is a sign, or when you are supposed to be mature, is a sign that the maturity that was credited to you did not actually exist. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It did not materialize at all. Hallelujah. So you can see here, it says that when thou was young, thou gettest thyself and walks whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall get thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Hallelujah. So right there we can see that as you grow older, rather, as you become more mature in the Lord, you should be looking for instructions to obey. Amen. You should be looking for another. You should be looking to stretch forth your hands so that another will get thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Hallelujah. Notice it. It says, whither thou wouldst not. Would take you to a place where you do not want to go. Amen. Amen. So the more mature you are, the less you will ask the question, why? Why should I do it? Amen. Amen. The less you ask the question, why should I do it? You tend to flow with the instructions. And those instructions tend to be very important and critical for your life. Hallelujah. Amen. We read the story about Saul. He was given instructions to go and do something. Isn't it? Yes. And then he thought in a certain way that made him miss. He did most of it, but left one. Can you believe that someone who obeyed most of what he was told to do and left one, lost his entire kingship and lost his entire ministry because of the one thing that he left undone? Hallelujah. Because as you go higher, the instruction, remember, all the allowance has been given in the form of discretion. Do what you want to do. Or do this, choose this, choose this. So when an instruction comes, usually that instruction doesn't have options. It doesn't leave room for you to use any type of discretion. Usually, it's a crucial instruction that you have to obey. And when you don't obey it, the consequences can be very grievous. Can I have an amen? Amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, we read that scripture, popular scripture, that says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Isn't it?
Yeah.
To obey is better than what? Sacrifice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is it coming? It says, "But the people took the spoil of the sheep and the oxen and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Hallelujah. Yeah. When you become a king, at that point, obedience is more important than any sacrifice you can make. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've reached the point where the instructions that are coming to you are coming to you because they are, at that point, the most important thing to do. Hallelujah. And that is what the Lord is showing us. So you can see Saul lost everything because, if you look at the next verse, let's read the next verse, verse 23. It says, "Stand and I'll tell you what the Lord told me. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. Wow.
Wow.
Is it not strong?
Yeah.
And Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Can you see that?
Yeah.
What I want you to see how is how the Lord has rejected thee from being king. The Lord has rejected thee from being king. And it looks like, so this small thing I did, you see, even with a good intention, because he's saying that the things that were not destroyed were kept because they wanted to make sacrifice to the Lord. Isn't it? He said they kept those things because they wanted to make sacrifice to the Lord. So it looks like it's even a good intention. But good intention is not a substitute for disobeying an instruction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because like I said, when you get to that height, only the most important of instructions are given. Every instruction that comes to you at a certain level is very important. That is why it's coming to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's coming to you because it's now very, very important. If it comes to you, it's important. Because usually at that level, you are allowed a lot of discretion. Do what you like. Do what seems right to you. But when what you must do is spelled out to you, it means it is of crucial and critical importance. And that is why the Lord is saying that. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
There is a second example of someone in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22 called Balaam. Numbers chapter 22 and verse 22. And you can see again how important it is for people to obey the Lord and his instructions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now it says, and the children of Israel. No, this is verse 1, verse 22. Numbers 22 and verse 22. It says here, verse 22, that's verse 16. Balaam said to Balak, all right. And God's angel. Okay, let's go back a little bit to verse 20. Good. And God came to Balaam at night. Now you know this story, isn't it? Where this person wanted to go and do something for some people. God said, don't go and do it. And he insisted, came back to God in different ways to come and ask the same question. Do you understand? And eventually, God came to him at night and said to him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet, the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Do you see? Then when you read the next verse, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. You see, meanwhile, it appears God told him to go. Do you see? But as he went, God was angry with him. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And as the ass turned aside out of the way, he went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. See, forcing the animal to try to continue to go. And then the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or to the left. So over here, God is showing his displeasure with Balaam. First of all, his donkey goes off the road. Do you understand? It goes off the road. Whether it's a somersault or whatever, it just went off the road. Then in the second example, it crashed into a wall. Do you understand? Then in the third example, the third instance, it says, now the ass saw the angel of the Lord and fell down under Balaam. Just dropped, it broke down right under Balaam. Do you understand? And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. Do you see? Then the ass said to Balaam, am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. He's even responding. You get it? Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And verse 31, the angel of the Lord said to him, verse 32, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had returned from me, surely now I also had slain thee and saved her life. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that this little instruction that God told Balaam, don't do this, was actually a matter of life and death for him. Do you understand? But he was sort of joking with it and had gone on and tried to find ways around it. And try to find some different reasons, asking God again, should I do it? Until God said, okay, do it. Do you understand? But now he has stepped into something that has now placed his life in danger. Three times. One of them, the ass or his mode of transport went off the road. The second one, the thing crashed into the wall. And the third one, the thing just broke down and started talking to him. Hallelujah. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So you can see that it's a matter of life. And then the angel told him that, look, if it wasn't for this animal, do you understand? The crash, the going off the road, and the breaking down were actually acts of mercy. Yeah. They were actually acts of mercy to save your life. Because if it wasn't for that, I would have killed thee. He said that, I would have killed thee and I would have kept the ass alive. Hallelujah. So you can see that when God said he shouldn't do it, he actually meant it. Hallelujah. He actually meant it and was serious about it. And all these bad experiences that he had were actually his deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, one more example, you will see that in Exodus chapter 4 and from verse 24. Exodus chapter 4 and from verse 24 going. Are you learning something tonight?
Yes.
Exodus chapter 4 and verse 24. This is the story of Moses. Moses has been talking back and forth with the Lord, you know, and God has agreed and made a plan with Moses. Can you take us back a little bit? Maybe we can go to like verse 20 or something. And you see how the Lord spoke to Moses. Moses said, I cannot go. God told him, don't worry, I'm going to send your brother. And your brother is going to come and help you. You know, no, that's too far. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. Moses took his wife and sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So at this point, you can see that Moses has already been through that whole thing with God. God has worked some miracles with him, with his rod. God has told him, you can have Aaron to help you, etc. So Moses has come, and the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. Do you understand? I've put a lot of wonders in your hand, and I want you to do it. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. Then the next verse. Okay, verse 22, and thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Now, can you imagine that? God has just sent Moses to go to Pharaoh. And God has just worked some miracles with Moses and Pharaoh, with Moses to show to Pharaoh. He asked him, what is in your hand? He said, it's a rod. Throw it on the ground, it becomes a snake. He says, pick it up by the tail, and it becomes a rod again. And then he said, take your hand. Show me your hand. Shows him your hand. Put it in thy bosom. He puts it in his bosom. Take it out. It's leprous. He said, put it back. Puts it back. Take it out. It's healed. Do you understand? And God said, now when you go to Pharaoh, I want you to go and do these signs and wonders. You see, but I will harden his heart and I will not let him let these people go. Do you understand? So Moses thinks that, okay, then God must be happy with me. But as he was going, God was unhappy with him about a different issue. So can you imagine that God has sent this man and the man is going on a mission, and God is meeting him on the road to that mission to kill him over another issue. Do you understand what is going on there? Akwesi. So he says, the Lord met him. It came to pass, the Lord met him in the way. Verse 24. The Lord met him in the inn and sought to kill him. Do you get it? Then in verse 25, we see some move that his wife. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely thou art a bloody husband to me. So she let him go. So he let him go, sorry. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness and meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Hallelujah. So you can see that God was upset with Moses because God has made a rule that every Israelite son must be circumcised. Moses had given birth to a child and had not circumcised him. Do you understand? And God took that as a serious issue. Do you get it? So serious that it didn't matter that he had sent him to do something very important. And so on his way to do that something important, God meets him and God is going to kill him. In spite of all the preparations that have been made to display in front of Pharaoh. Is it not interesting? Yeah. God said that, I don't care what I've told you to do. I don't care how important your mission is. I don't care how important you are. Not the most important person in the world. You understand? But I have told you to do something, and you have not done that something. And because you have not done that something, you are going to pay with your life. But thank God for his wife. His wife caught the thing very quickly, and she took a sharp stone and did the circumcision fast. Do you understand? Then after that, she said, you bloody fool. Do you understand, bloody fool? There's a particular tribe in Ghana. They don't say bloody. They say bloody. Okay. So, bloody fool is bloody fool. Okay. So, the woman told the husband, you bloody fool. Do you understand? He says that thou art a bloody husband to me because of the circumcision. Do you understand? Then, can you see that when that is sorted out and obedience is seen and God is happy with them, then the Lord speaks to Aaron, go and meet Moses. That's the original mission is continuing. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you? So you can see that God is very serious about the instructions he gives. Instructions are not a burden. Hallelujah. You cannot afford to disobey at higher levels. Do you understand? Amen. When you become a shepherd, when you become a pastor, when you become a responsible Christian, when you are put in charge of something, your ability to obey instructions becomes your greatest asset. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It becomes the most important thing you have, because a slight deviation, a slight change, a small disobedience, as it may look to you, can cost you everything. Hallelujah. So the higher levels require more precise obedience. Do you understand? They require more precise obedience. You have to do what you have been told to do in order to be able to continue to walk with God. The last verse for tonight, it can be found in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, therefore, it is no wonder that there is such a verse in the Bible. It talks about instruction, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. And the Bible says, that's verse 13, yes. It says, take fast hold of what? Take fast hold of what? Instruction. And let her not go. Keep her for what reason? For she is thy life. Hallelujah. Can you see that? It says she is your life. Instruction is your life. Do you understand? You must always look for an instruction to obey, because that is your life. You must ask yourself, what is the next thing to obey? What is the next thing to do? What is the next instruction in front of me that I have to obey? Because she is what? Thy life. Hallelujah. And it says, take hold of her. Don't despise instruction. When you despise instruction, it shows you are not mature. Do you understand? Because if we are all in a room and they've written a sign somewhere, do not touch. Who do you think will touch it? Like in this room. If there's an instruction on a wall, something, do not, like says fire or something, do not touch. Who do you think will touch it? You see, people are pointing to a particular person. What's the wet paint? Yeah. Wet paint, do not touch. Who do you think will touch it? They'll read, do not touch us. Actually touch. Yeah. So you see that rather it's the younger ones who will touch it. So disobeying instructions is actually a sign of immaturity. It shows that you are a little child. Do you understand? It shows that you are the person everybody was pointing to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It shows you're one of the little ones. If there was a tap that has been locked, say, do not open. A person who opens it is the child. The child is the one who will despise what has been written there and will want to open it to see what will come out of it. Isn't it? A grown-up will usually not even dare. Do you understand? They will not try it. They will not open it. They will not try to see what is behind it. They will just read what has been written and choose to obey it. But a child would like to see that if I disobey it, what will happen? It's a sign that you're a child. Can I have an amen? It's a sign that you're a child. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you tonight to know that as you grow in the Lord and as you grow and go higher in Him and in spiritual things, you are going to have to become a master of obeying instructions. You have to get better at obeying simple instructions. Even if they may sound absurd, even if they look like, you know, it's upside down, even if it looks like it's not important, you need to learn how to obey small things. Just like if you were a pilot, they'll tell you, just turn this small knob a little bit. Just turn it 45 degrees to the right. You just have to turn it 45 degrees and be precise. Not 46, not 47, not 42, but 45. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because every slight deviation, of course, is significant when you are flying a plane. What do you think? If a plane was coming to land, most runways you see, they are very near the water. So if the plane was coming to land, and then instead of landing in the middle, it lands just slightly to the right of the runway, what a difference it will make. You get it? Everybody will end up in the water. And the pilots will say, oh, it was only a small... You get it? I was just, oh, just a small deviation from that. That's not, then that's how Saul was talking. So I've done most of the things. It's just this small one. But you don't understand that this small one makes a big difference. Hallelujah. So may God help us all to become obedient people and people who value spiritual instructions. Instructions from spiritual people. Instructions from your pastor. Instructions from your spiritual father. Instructions from anybody who has any type of spiritual relationship with you. It is very, very, very important to learn how to obey those simple instructions. Because she is what? Thy life. Hallelujah. She is the life. That means if you mess with her, you may die. Can I have an amen? Amen? So God should help all of us to obey instructions, to recognize especially His instructions as they come through people and to obey them because she is our life. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray tonight and go home by the grace of God. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Bow your heads and just pray and say, Lord, please help me to be one who obeys instructions. Help me to obey. Are there any instructions in my life that I have not yet obeyed? Are there things I've been asked to do that I haven't done? Are there instructions that have been given to me that I have not obeyed? God may be dealing with you concerning other things, but it does not mean that He has forgotten the instruction He gave you. Just like God told Balaam, you can go. But God had something different in mind altogether. God told Moses, go and talk to Pharaoh. And yet Moses was never going to arrive at Pharaoh's palace at all. Because God had a different plan for Moses because of a different issue. So it may well be that things may be continuing smoothly with the Lord, but over a certain issue, the Lord may be very displeased with you. And it is important that we will have those things right before us and pray for God's mercy, that God will be merciful unto us and grant us a chance to obey those instructions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for your mercy tonight. We pray for your mercy tonight in the name of Jesus, that you will help us in Jesus' name. Makaboro Moshataria Rababarababa. Holy Spirit, blessed comfort, counselor and intercessor, you are our helper and our advocate, strengthener and our standby. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy, Holy Spirit, lead us to the promised land. You are our helper, you are our helper and our advocate, Father. We thank you for tonight and thank you for your word. We pray, O God, for mercy tonight concerning any instruction that you have given us or that you have given us through our spiritual leaders that we have not yet obeyed. I pray in Jesus' name that you will be merciful unto us and give us another chance. We pray for a spirit of obedience. Open our eyes to see the importance of every instruction that has been given us in the name of Jesus. May we not be deceived by other things you seem to be doing with us, but help us, Lord, to obey you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for tonight, and thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Are you blessed tonight?